Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
If you are like most Christians, you have probably at one time or another deliberately avoided facing up to what Scripture says about giving. Perhaps the subject somewhat intimidated you into feeling guilty, or maybe you just found it incredibly dull.
To Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
As you know, we're in the midst of a series of messages here called Radical for God. Being Radical for God. We stopped after the book of Galatians to pause just for a moment for these messages, and then next week, Lord willing, we will begin in the book of Ephesians as we continue our way through the New Testament. And we just thank the Lord for all that He's doing in our lives today. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're there, say there. If you're not there, say not there. Ooh, that's a lot. I'm going to wait a little bit. Just going to wait a little bit. I pray that these series of messages have been a blessing to us. I felt that they were of the heart of the Lord. If you'll remember, we've looked at a message entitled Radical for God concerning the Word of God. You feel that's an important message? That we would be radical. Now, radical, as we know, just means to be very different from the usual or the traditional. It can be relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something, far-reaching or thorough. So simply it means that, again, to be out of the usual. Routine means that we would be in the usual. There's nothing wrong with good routine, but there is a routine that is unimaginative. It's rote behavior. It requires very little effort, and we don't want to be there. So we talked about that as we looked at the Word of God. Then after that, we looked at being radical for God concerning prayer. Is that a good thing to be encouraged about? Prayer, it really is. So we've taken time to do that. I felt that's been of the Holy Spirit. After that, we looked at being radical for God concerning discipleship. Is that a good thing to look at? It has been. You guys are kind of there. Has that been a good thing to look at?
Yeah.
Okay, so we looked at that, and we had some scriptures, given notes that you could study and look at on the webpage. Then last week, we looked at being radical for God concerning evangelism. Is that a good subject to consider? Yeah, it is in our lives. And so today, along the lines of those topics, we are going to look at radical for God concerning giving and tithing. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Is that a good topic to cover?
Yes.
It is. It really is. And so we look at this topic maybe every 10 years. For those that are visiting here today, please know it's not our habit as a fellowship. We don't even take an offering. There are offering boxes if people want to be involved that way, but we don't take an offering. And so we approach it in a very low-key way, except that we believe there is a wonderful privilege that God has given us to be involved in giving and tithing. So we're going to talk about that today in a radical way that we might consider that. It's very important. As we know, we're in the war and we're in a race. It's important. And so the topic we are studying today, to me, is one of the most important biblically misunderstood subjects in all of Christianity. You can go to the TV, you can go to the radio, you can see people putting pressure on you. It's never to be presented to you in a way that makes you feel that you have to. It should be that we get to follow God in everything that we do. In the Word. I didn't put any pressure on you in that way. I encourage you in prayer. Didn't put any pressure on you. Encourage you that we should be there. Discipleship didn't, you know, demand anything from you. Just encourage you that we'd be there because we find it in Scripture. Evangelism. Notice last week there was nothing heavy about the message whatsoever. It was just an encouragement to be involved in sharing our faith. And today there's nothing that's going to be heavy that we have to give or we have to tithe. God is not in need. He truly isn't. He owns the whole universe. I was looking at something yesterday. I was riding my bike yesterday downstairs and everything. And so they put on this thing about the universe. And it was just going here and there and everything. And I just found myself with little tears rolling down my eye. God, you are amazing. You are totally amazing. All of these things out here and seeing this and all that and this and that. And they said millions of years. And you know they said that. I look at God. God created in the time that he desired to create all things. And he's in control of all things in that way. And so it was just a wonderful time where I was doing that and realizing, God, you are amazing. So today, the message is for us as an instruction to consider what God may speak to our hearts concerning. Now, why would I feel that we need to be studying this subject? Two reasons. First, because I feel it is good to have a refresher course on the responsibility we have before the Lord to be involved with him in this way. Sometimes we need a refresher course. Every 5 to 10 years is not too often to be refreshed in this subject that is very, very important. We'll see as we go through this. We have a privilege to walk with the Lord in this way, but we have a responsibility to respond as he speaks to us. Second, why would I feel we need to study this subject? To remind us that great blessings await those who follow God's principles concerning giving and tithing. As great blessings are there for people that study the Word of God. Great blessings are there for us as we enter into prayer. Great blessings are there as we disciple other people and see their lives change and it changes our lives. And great blessings are there as we share our faith with other people. So today, tithing and giving is intended to bring blessings into our lives. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please look at verse 6. It says, "This I say," Paul says, "he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." To God. It's amazing to see. An unknown author said this: "If you are like most Christians, you have probably at one time or another deliberately avoided facing up to what Scripture says about giving or tithing. Perhaps the subject somewhat intimidated you into feeling guilty, or maybe you just found it incredibly dull. Perhaps when you knew the pastor was going to talk on giving, you decided it had been long enough since it had been too long since you had visited Aunt Martha, or you quickly volunteered to help with the nursery." Now, I checked with Jason. They don't need any help in the nursery. Okay, everything's good. You can stay put if you want, okay? Now, the author goes on and says this: "Granted, giving is not the most popular topic in Christian circles, but is one of the most essential. And ignoring a responsibility doesn't negate it or even minimize it, but it does rob you of the joy of obedience. There are many commands in the Word of God that are especially emphasized in terms of the blessing that accompanies them. Giving is one such command. Biblical teaching on this topic is a major part of the revelation of God, and so it must be important." So it's important, I believe, to look at this topic. Personally, I believe that any teaching on this subject must begin with the understanding that giving / tithing begins with the reality of us giving ourselves to God in total surrender to him and his purposes. Excuse me. It all begins by just presenting ourselves, as Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. We present We present, by the grace of God, we present our bodies as living sacrifices there to the Lord, pleasing to Him, and that we would be brought into His perfect will. So let's look at the definition now. It's going to be on the screen here, and I'm going to go through this quickly and leave it up to you. The notes will be on the webpage, as I said. If you'd like to go through those and look at those, you can do that this week. And so the definition of tithing, the giving of a tenth unto God. Notice it's a giving to God. It starts in Scripture. We can go back to the very first place that it's mentioned in Scripture, the tenth, the tithe. It goes all the way through Scripture, and it is applicable to New Testament teaching, I believe. Now, it may be called first fruits, as we will see here in a moment, but it's a topic that is very important, and it's important on the heart of God because He takes it all the way through all the Old Testament, instructs His people, the nation of Israel, as an example to us as we get into the New Testament church. So the giving of a tithe unto God. Definition, it's a returning of the first fruits of all that God has given to us. And so again, God gives to us, and then He speaks to us about what He would have us to entrust back into His hands in the way that He would want us to do that. And I love this definition. It is an act and a commitment of trust and worship. Trust and worship in our lives. And that's an important thing. So it's a lot more than just given finances to where He would want it to go. He brings us to a point, and we are to trust Him in that way. I remember when we were brand new Christians, Vi and I've shared this before, but it was very important in our hearts. We were brand new Christians. I was working with a guy named Jerry Lawson selling life insurance, and he called me into his office one day, and he was standing there with the sheepish grin on his face, and he held up a dollar, and he said, "Bill, what's this?" And I said, "Okay, Jerry, I'll play along. It's a dollar bill." Okay. Then he put that down and held up a dime, and he asked me what this was, and I said, "Well, it's a dime, Jerry. It's a dime." Then he went on to teach me about the privilege of tithing or giving and being responsible to the Lord in that way. I thank the Lord that He did that in the very beginning of our walk. We had just come out of thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. We were still, in thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. But He taught us that principle, and we said, if that's what we're supposed to do, then that's what we will do. So I went home, we searched the Scriptures that He gave us, I sat down with Vi, we prayed about it, and for 40-some years, we've been trusting the Lord that way. I'm not a great spiritual man in any way, but I find that it's in Scripture, and I believe it's to be obedient to Him that way. Now, four purposes for giving and tithing that I'd like to pull out of Scripture. First of all, God created giving and tithing so that His work can move forward. So His work can move forward. Does He need it? No, He can go beyond. He can do anything that He wants to do. But He uses that in a church environment and other environments so He can help other people. So the work of ministry can go forward in that way. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offered up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." And so it's interesting to see that He put them in that position that they didn't have any land, except the place that He would put them on, and they were in an entire different situation. And so it was there so that the work of God, as the Lord used the people to bring in the tithes and offerings, the work of the ministry could go forward in that way. Number two, God created giving and tithing so that they would learn to fear God. Fear God. I mean, we should be in awesome respect of who He is. And this is one way He puts us in positions. Because finances are very, really important to us, are they not? If we're honest. Are they not? They are. They are. And rightfully so. And that's a good thing. And so He can use us to release it to benefit other people. Number three, God created giving and tithing so that support would be given to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And so we have those purposes as we're able as a fellowship to receive your tithes and offerings. What we do is we give of the tithe. We tithe from the tithe. We started out at 10%, set that aside for missions and domestic and international, but also to help people in benevolent way. But we've raised it to 15% through the years. And so everything that comes in here, 15% goes out to the purposes of the Lord as He would have them in that way. We've learned to do that. We've learned to trust Him in that way. Fourth, God created giving and tithing so that we do not neglect the house of the Lord as the finances come in. We're not a rich fellowship by any means. We're really not, just being very transparent in that way. We go week to week most of the time. It's that from week to week that we just pray and ask the Lord to bless it. A lot of times people think because we're located in the Geist area, we're on approximately 100 acres of property and all that, but no, God meets the needs. The needs we can say today are met. We're thankful for that, so it's not out of this need that I share this message, but as a responsibility to follow forth in what he would have. So we don't want to neglect the work of the Lord or the house of the Lord, so it pays for the utilities. It pays for the grass seed and all those different things that you guys know about. Now, giving through the scriptures. Now, I'm going to move very quickly. And like I said, you could look at the notes during the week and just through some scriptures here, and we'll close the message after we do this. The first one I wanted to emphasize is God gave to us. Now, how can that be a principle? It's a very important principle. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." It is always good to remember that God first gave to us. God is the one that controls all things. He gives to us. Amen? He's the one that gives to us. And then we respond to what he has given to us as he's working in our lives. Some people may come here. They live on Geist Reservoir. I'm not sure if I know anybody. But, it could be that. Another person could live wherever that person lives. I will never know if a person tithes or gives to the Lord. I don't want to know. Haven't known. Don't desire to know. Sometimes it slips through. But, I'm not asking questions of the accountant here and none of those, because I don't want to be involved in knowing what people do or what they don't do. That's between you guys and the Lord. So today I get to encourage and you just to respond to the Lord, not to Bill or to a ministry in any way. Number two, man has the privilege to give back to God. He has received from God. God gives first, and then we have a privilege to give back. Cain and Abel were given back. One gave back correctly. The other one didn't. Give back correctly. So we have to pray and ask the Lord what he would have us to do there. Number three, tithing comes as an act of worship and honor. We see that. Melchizedek there came and Abraham honored him and he gave him a tenth of the spoils at that point. So we can see that it can be a place of honor. And then we see fourth, tithes from man are holy to the Lord. We can never forget that. I remember when we were just brand new Christians, we so specifically, when it came to the tithe and the offering, we set it aside. We didn't have it, but we just by faith did it, and God just began to bless us and all that. But each time we would do that, and unfortunately I'm thinking right now we don't do it as much now, but we would just pray over that, whether we had a check in our hand or whatever we would do, cash that we were given, we just prayed over and asked the Lord to bless it, to multiply it. And we need to understand that it is holy to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. As we release it, we put it in the hands of the Lord that way. Number five, tithes and offerings are to be brought to the Lord. As I'm talking there, we bring them to the Lord. As we release them, we bring them to the Lord. And then an example of God's people tithing can be found in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 there. And in that scripture, when you go there during the week, you'll see they were encouraged. They had an opportunity to give and they kept giving and giving. And then finally, the leadership said, "Have them stop. We have all that we need," in that sense. So that was a wonderful heart of those people that as they were given. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, please. Everybody turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. Tithing causes us to grow in our trust in God. I think that's one of the most important reasons that God has designed this, that we would learn to trust him at times in need. I've been at times where, Lord, there's not any food on the table. What do you want me to do? At times he would say, "I want you to trust me." And I always found that he blessed me. One time I can remember, I said, "Lord, here it is, it's yours." And he knew that we didn't have any food on our table at that point. And I just felt that he said, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just felt he said, "Go buy groceries." And I had a struggle. I said, "Lord, that can't be it. This is for you. This is for your purposes and all." And he says, "That's true. Thank you for giving it to me. Now I'm giving you permission to go ahead and do that." Sometimes God will do that. He gives us freedom to do that. You know, that shouldn't be our continuous habit. But God is the one that controls. God is the one that speaks to us. God is the one that puts us in the position to trust him in this area. And it is a growth issue. Look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, as we see here through 10. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. honor, verse 9, the Lord with your possessions. Notice, it's the Lord that we honor, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I've heard so often people will say, the tithe is not found in the New Testament. Well, that word's not found in the New Testament, but it doesn't mean the principle doesn't carry through. Because they'll say it's the first fruits. Well, then I can go right here to Proverbs, and it says, with the first fruits of all your increase. We see it's a principle that God is teaching, and he's using different words to teach the principle that he wants to speak to us about. And just a great blessing. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, please, just to the right a little bit there. Tithing causes us to grow in our trust in God. And the next one, the generous person will be made rich. Notice verse 24 and 25 of Proverbs 11. It says, there is one who scatters. Notice they scatter out. Talking about the farmer here that scatters a seed. In application, we can see what we do with that which God has given us and our willingness to give to others. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So again, the principle that we find in Scripture, that's what I'm attempting to teach here. The principles that we see from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through that God's speaking to his people, that it's good to give to others. In Malachi chapter 3, you guys, or you want to say Malachi, whatever it is. I think it's Malachi, but Malachi might work for you. But you know, you go there, and this is a very popular scripture that we see, and people beat on the heads of people. It's not intended to do that. But we are told to come to God and to, in a sense, test him. I have found that, not in a bad way, in a good way. He's just saying, I'll bless you. Just trust me. Again, that trust that is there. And so Malachi is a scripture that we can consider to test him and to prove him and to see how he brings his blessings. That isn't the reason we ever do it, but it's something that he does in the midst of our lives. The next one we see is Jesus' words concerning giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said this, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Again, a principle that is there that we are to follow. And humility is required in our giving. In Luke chapter 18, verse 19, we see the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee was so proud that he gave everything. And Jesus commended the tax collector with all humility. He approached and gave in that way. We're not to let anybody else know what we are doing in that way. We must excel in our giving. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Back to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to just slow down a little bit here because this section is important. There's so much in here to instruct us in. As we learn to excel in our giving, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So God had brought blessing to the church of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What is God teaching? He's teaching that at times that it might be, we may not have a lot, but he'll come and speak to us and say, trust me in this area. Just trust me to give to others. And that's what this church was doing. It goes on in verse 3, for it says, I bear witness that according to their ability, those in Macedonia, yes, and beyond their ability. Now notice in verse 3, they were freely willing. That's a key. Underline that, put stars next to it. It's important that we would be freely willing as unto the Lord. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, the gifts that they were giving. And not only, verse 5, as we had hoped, but they first, here it is, gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Underline that, circle that. That's the order. We give ourselves to the Lord, as it says there, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, so he's encouraging them to follow through. Verse 11, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also will be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. And so we learn to give, just to give as the Lord, but we have a willing mind. Here I am, Lord. I know this situation's in my life, that, but I find it in Scripture. And so we go before the Lord and we do as he would ask us to do. And I love the Scriptures that we see this way that challenges. Again, we must be cheerful givers, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And the last Scripture I'd like to look at here is our ability to give really comes from where? Comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect is from gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So it's a responsibility. It's a privilege that we get to do. We get to trust him and follow him as he works in our lives individually. And I believe, you know, that he has in his heart the church and the purposes that the church has. He also has in his heart missionaries. We can support them. He has in his heart parachurch organizations, for instance, the Billy Graham Association. I love their approach to this. You'll never see them begging in any way. They're always very sensitive to the local church. They're sensitive how they encourage people to do what they do. And so, in conclusion, the three P's of giving and tithing. The first one is the purpose of tithing. Notice it is for us to simply acknowledge that everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have. It can be a test of our love for God and our trust in him. Everything that we have comes from God. You guys believe that? It's true, isn't it? Take a deep breath. Okay. That's given to us by God. It's all about God. So it's simple. We just follow him, what he wants to do in our lives. The procedure of tithing. There is a procedure. Faithfulness. We are to be faithful. Then we see honesty. We're to be honest before the Lord. There was two people in Acts chapter 5 got in deep trouble, you know, because they weren't honest in that way there. Dependability in giving is very important. God is looking for that in a sense that we would be dependable to follow him and trust him. And so we see those things, faithfulness, honesty, dependability. And then there is, lastly, the process of tithing. It is an order where our hearts come first, and then the rest of my life will follow in order. Not that hard, is it? Just our hearts being yielded to him. And I found this little expression. The Christian who tithes will be surprised in six ways. Number one, at the amount of money he has for the Lord's work. Number two, at the deepening of their spiritual life in paying the tithe. Number three, at the ease and meeting his own obligation with the nine-tenths. Number four, at the ease in going from one-tenth to a larger percentage. And number five, at the preparation this gives to be a faithful and wise steward over the nine-tenths remaining. And the last one, number six, at himself for not adopting the plan sooner. You guys okay out there? Simply. Okay, we don't have to do this for another 10 years. But I pray that it would be an encouragement to you. We've ended early. How about that? That is always special when we do that. But I just pray it's important. We've been radical for the Word of God in the Word. Very important that we would do that as a congregation, a group of people. May the Lord bless us in that way. We've been asking him in prayer to make us radical for him for prayer, that we would dive in deeper for prayer. We've been praying for a revival during 2018. And now we're going to continue to pray for that in 2019. So let's be radical in that way. Let God use us for his purposes. Then we prayed that we would be radical in discipleship. And we're starting to encourage even more so small group ministry and getting in discipleship in that way. We encouraged us last week, as I said, to be radical for evangelism. That we'd reach out to people. I get on a plane tomorrow morning at 6 in the morning. And I've been praying, Lord, for the person that doesn't have earphones in their head or watching, locked into their iPad. I'd like to talk to a person on the plane. It's hard to do anymore. But I'm just going to try. Lord, I'd love to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be radical in that way. And may we simply be radical in God as we learn to give to Him and trust Him in the tithe, in the giving as He guides us. Father, we thank You for the simplicity of Your word. We thank You for this time that You've encouraged us in these areas to be radical, to be out of the usual, to allow You to change us and to test us for Your glory. We just love You, Lord. I thank You for these men and women. They are so precious. They love You. So help us just to continue to go forward. And Lord, Lord willing, You willing, as we get next week, if we'll have that week that we will be in Ephesians, might You bless that book to us. It's an amazing book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the-